Today is Freaks of the Industry Day. Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a sports ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Bruschi, and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Dr. A. Alexander. Tomorrow we will be back on the free agency beat and transaction palooza. And today, though, we wanted to let that marketplace breathe for a second, as there's no amazing hurry to get to the bottom of things. And we wanted to talk about the freaks at the top of our top 10 dynasty lists. Please consider subscribing to the show on all of your platforms. Like and review. Give us all that feedback, all that good stuff. Follow us at Aaron Bruschi, at Dr. A, at Ethos Fantasy NBA, and more. Let me bring in the original freak of the industry, or perhaps maybe freak number two. I think Rick Camo is freak number one. Steve-O, you're freak number two. This episode is going to be hyper-focused on the top 10, so I just want to slide in a question of overall strategy before we jump into all of this. How are you with your dynasty squads? Are you a hoarder of, like, young assets, or are you a push-all-the-chips-in-the-middle-any-chance-you-can guy?
I'm a terrible, terrible dynasty guy. Like, I'm in a couple dynasty leagues, but I don't care about them that much. Like, to me, the best part of fantasy sports is draft day. And having, I would rather just throw everybody back in the pool and have my shot at getting my guys. And going with that, like, I just, and plus in dynasty, you'll have these guys, you'll have trades go down where it's like four not very good prospects for one superstar, and then that guy's team is so loaded he automatically wins. And I'm just like, I've just seen too much fighting, too much drama, and I'm not dissing dynasty leagues. I'm just saying they're not necessarily for me.
But I love the
drama. I'm in them, and I've got a list here of my top 10 dynasty guys. But I kind of suck at being a dynasty manager. Kamla, I'm in a dynasty with Kamla, and he's just totally into it, dude. Like he's sending me trade requests every single day, and you know, the league is on a website that I'm not particularly fond of. I'll say this. It's not Yahoo. It's not ESPN. And it's not CBS. It's one where I don't find it easy to maneuver around. I don't even know how to. I'm a boomer, dude. And I'm too old to learn all these new tricks. And I don't have time. So
you got a flip phone and you still text everybody. You leave audio messages, Steve? Do you leave voicemails?
No. My buddy left me a voicemail last night, and I actually listened to it because he leaves them all the time, and he's so upset that I never answer the phone. Secondly, I never listen to voicemails. So I listened to it last night. He goes, "Oh, you're probably not listening to this voicemail because I know you hate voicemail, but I'm leaving it anyway." Okay.
Guy that leaves voicemails. Shout out Rick Kamla. You are the original freak of the industry, man. He goes so hard. Like in 30 deep, I'm sure in your league, like if there's an argument about a rule change, that man is at the tip of the spear. He's letting you have it. And I love that. That's why we love Rick Kamla. I think dynasty drafts, I'm in a really good dynasty. I don't play a lot. I got one. And it's a sports ethos league, and it's run really well, and it's been super fun. Like I forget what the other side of the trade was, but I got somebody offered me Jokic, and I just hit the button. I was like, "I'll take it." Yeah, I didn't even read it. I'll just take it, and that worked out well for me. There's one team in the league that's so stacked, it's absurd. So when I went and I played that guy in the finals 2 years ago, and I looked across at what I was up against, and I laughed. I was like, "What is this team? How did you do this? Like, what happened to this league here?" And that's the kind of weird stuff that happens in dynasty formats. Like, you get half the league is tanking. By the way, we put in anti-tanking rules in this league, and somebody still was able to kind of maneuver their way to Victor Wembanyama. So you have that behavior going on in these formats. A lot of players, a lot of GMs really overvaluing young talent.
is probably the other characteristic of these formats. So if you want to take a shot, you know, and go with a bunch of old dudes, that's actually a possibility in these formats quite often, but it's just all over the board. It's a really interesting ecosystem. I really recommend that you guys read Mark Camaro. The work he's doing is, you know, kind of like scout quality, I would call it, over here at Sports Ethos, and these guys are just knee deep in all of it. So definitely check that out. We're going to cover the top 10 here in this show. Before I do that, quickly, I'm going to do a quick bill paying thing over here. Bet Online, our great partners at Bet Online, is your number one source for all of your sports betting needs this season, from baseball to golf to soccer, all the way to the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Get every stat, matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. Then when the game's over, grab your favorite beverage, head on over to your online casino, and get in a game of blackjack or poker, unwind with one of our over 150 slots. I hope they don't kill me for the beverage part. Head to the website today and get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet Online, the game starts here. I don't know how tough they are on these reads, you know, if I'm allowed to change them at all or editorialize my own thoughts and feelings on sitting at a game of slots and just
dude, I think as long as we're talking about betonline.com, believe,
they're probably happy.
They're pleased. They love this.
I love it. I love it. Okay. Top 10 dynasty guys. I think we'll start at the top. Let's just, you know, shower Victor Wembanyama with all of the praise in the world. Was there any universe you would not rank him number one for any reason?
No. That's all I got to say about that. No. no, I mean, he's a freak. He is a freak, and he is going to change. He's going to change things, man. Unless another one of him comes along to counter him, he is going to change the game. And I think people who have Victor Wembanyama on their team this coming season are going to win their league.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't even care how the rest of your draft goes.
Let's take this conversation to the next level. Let's ask this. What would you need to trade Victor Wembanyama? Would you need a combination of the number two and number three ranked player on this list? Is that so crazy it's not even worth discussing? Like, I think it comes into play if you're looking at, like, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Like, would you trade the sixth ranked guy on your list and the seventh ranked guy on your list to get Victor Wembanyama?
To get him?
To get him.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I don't know if I'd trade, like, Shea and Luka if I had both of them. I don't know that I could trade both of them to get Victor, but just about anything else on the board. I mean, he's just, like I said, man, I think if you have Wembanyama and you just don't completely fall asleep during your draft and get auto-picked injured guys, you're going to have a team that can win. It's simple. And, you know, we've touched on this subject before. After this season, when Wembanyama wrecks everybody, assuming now that the Spurs don't completely try to tank, this next draft coming up is a better, much better draft than the one we just saw. In fact, it's a really good draft. And there's incentive for the Spurs to get a good pick. So if they don't load up on talent now, they may try to tank this year. And maybe you see Wembanyama take time off here and there. Or maybe you see him, he sprains an ankle and he misses 2 weeks. I don't know. But if Wembanyama is playing, and if, you know, last year, even when he was only playing one or two games a week when he was hurt momentarily, he was still just dominating. And I don't know, man. If we're talking dynasty, I'm going to do whatever I can to get this kid on my team, because he's one of the youngest players in the league. He may still be growing. Who knows? And he's only going to get better. And he was unstoppable last year.
introducing 7'7" Victor Wembanyama. We were talking last episode about how Chris Paul and maybe Chris Paul might, you know, be able to unlock some unstoppable plays over and over and over again. And who knows, maybe San Antonio makes a run up the standings in an attempt to entice more free agents to come on over. But producer Andre Limos was talking about just some scenarios where, you know, it kind of makes sense that the Spurs tank again. You know, they could give Chris Paul a night off every 3 nights, or they could, you know, they got some shooting issues surrounding Victor Wembanyama. They could possibly try to take an angle to get Cooper Flagg next year, who's reportedly the top player of the next draft class, or one of them. Like, I guess that's not so relevant for this fantasy discussion, but it's, I guess, relevant from the perspective of the San Antonio Spurs could just get so good. And you might see a parallel phenomena going on of the Spurs being so good and really the second place team being so far back if they play this right. And the parallel phenomena happening in dynasty formats, I wonder, you know, these formats are already kind of catty, as you've described, or they're a little zigzaggy, you know, everybody's all over the place. But if you were in a league, and let's say you've been invested in that league for like 2 or 3 seasons, and then, yeah, Wemby mania hits and somebody like tanked their way into getting that first overall pick, and now your league is essentially decided for 10 seasons or something. What's that going to do? Like, I mean, you're going to have to like, how do you tell, hey, fantasy GM, it was not that fair that you got Wembanyama. We're going to pull him from your team. Are these guys?
You sound like the guy on the 30-30 commercials for ESPN. What if I told you Victor Wembanyama and Cooper Flagg ruined the same team for the next 10 years?
What if I told you Victor Wembanyama would ruin a bunch of nerds' fantasy leagues? No, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I kind of geek out on this stuff. I think, like, what's the argument? Like, you know, you got that one guy, everybody's got that one guy in their league that's just constantly talking trash, ruining it, creating havoc, threatening to quit. You know, you name it. There's always that one guy. What does it look like when Victor Wembanyama's fantasy GM has won 10 straight championships? What if I told you? Okay, so Victor's going to go number one in our ranks. Shocker.
I think he's going to go number one in every fantasy format I can think of.
Known to man. Maybe not standard redraft formats. Maybe I think there might be some controversy there. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Okay, 2, 3, 4. I think it gets real interesting here. I wonder if we got the same 2, 3, 4 in Dynasty formats here.
I bet we do not.
I don't think we have the same order, but I think we have the same three guys, but I'm not sure about
it. Yeah, I think so too. Well, I mean, clearly we have not seen each other's list, so we're rolling here.
Just rolling as we usually do. I'm gonna go out and
who do Luka. You have at number two?
You got Luka at two.
I do have Luka at two. I do. I bet you have SGA at two.
Nope. I went Jokic. Old school here, all right? I went Jokic. And I don't feel great about it. I mean, he's the older.
No, we do not have the same three in our top three.
So, yeah, see, I think you faded Jokic, didn't you?
I'm not going to say I faded him. I'm just going to say.
What, he's fifth on your list? Is he fifth?
Nah, he's fourth.
All right, we definitely. Fourth. Okay. All right. I mean, look, that's fair. He's just about to turn 30. But that dude's got like 10 years of basketball if he wants it, which is a big question with him. I think he's got six,
well, you know,
at minimum MVP caliber campaigns left in him.
Jokic has not done anything wrong. He hasn't gotten bad. He hasn't gotten worse. He hasn't let off the gas pedal at all. There's just guys that have caught him. I think Victor, I think he's already passed him, And then you got a couple guys that, you know, a lot of people are going to take, still take Jokic first or second. And I think that's fine. You're not going to get me or anybody else to say that taking Jokic over whoever is a mistake, because it's not. So yeah, I mean, the fact you have Jokic at two, I think is great. You know me, I'm more about flashy, shiny things.
With wearing those stunner shades, and you just hanging out with the primetime neon Deion Sanders in your off days, just all the flash over there.
How old is Nikola Jokic?
He's literally just half year to 30. So he's 29 and a half years old.
So if you were talking dynasty and you got SGA and you got Luka, who are what, both 25?
Mm-hmm. 26 and 25. Luka's younger.
SGA's 26. Wow. Oh, yeah, he is. But that's still 4 years. To me and dynasty, and maybe I read too much into it. Maybe that's why I don't love dynasty. I look at 4 years difference in two players as being a huge, huge difference.
It is. It really is.
But maybe it's not. Maybe it's not.
It's not for Jokic, in my opinion. Like, I think if it was any other player, like when I was trying to hash this out in my mind, I'm sitting here going, okay, what's going to happen to Shea in like 3-4 seasons? You know, whatever step he loses in his age 30 season, is that going to start pulling him back, you know, into say like second round value per game? And then I actually started asking myself, you know, what happens as Oklahoma City starts to get better? You know, what happens as Jalen Williams starts to get more deserving of more of those touches, and things start to slide away from Shea? And then with Luka, my thought there is just kind of like, I just worried about his durability, and I don't have the man crush you have for him. So I just, like, for me, and then valuations being what they are, you know, of current production and kind of the turnover issues, if it's an 8-cat league, I probably bring Luka, you know, up into the discussion at 2 even. You know, I think the turnover thing for Luka is really bad. He'll probably get way better with that over time. But yeah, no, those were my thoughts that sort of peppered this discussion. And with Jokic, he just, I think you mentioned he doesn't, you know, in private show, he just doesn't jump. You know, like, his lack of athleticism probably doesn't hit those fantasy numbers for, you know, until 33, 34 years old. And so his arc is a little bit longer because of the style of play that he has. That's why I had him at 2. Did you see it though as 2-3-4, Jokic, Shea, Luka in some order?
Yeah, I've got Luka 2 and Shea 3. And then Jokic 4.
Really robust 2-3, 2-4 there. As you're valuing fantasy players heading forward, or if you were to have a fantasy draft today to start up a dynasty league and you weren't going to exclude Victor Wembanyama, which I would highly would you exclude Wimby in a dynasty league that starts right now?
No.
You just don't believe in that?
Well, we don't know what is going to happen. Now, what I think is going to happen is Wimby teams are going to dominate in fantasy. And then I think what will happen is a year from now, the dudes that you're talking about, that guy in that league that raises every issue, is going to be like, dude, none of us had a chance against that Wembanyama team this year, and I don't want to do that again this year. I just feel like that is going to happen, because when I was playing, you know, here comes.
I was going to say, are you going to name any of these people?
Here comes Grandpa on yelling at kids to get off his lawn. But when I was playing fantasy hoops in the middle of Michael Jordan's prime, we were like, okay, whoever gets Jordan is going to win the league, and let's just take him out. And everybody's like, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do it. I mean, it wasn't like wasn't like a controversial thing. It wasn't a worldwide or league-wide thing, but there were, I think there were a lot of leagues that wanted to be competitive and wanted to give everybody a chance to win. They took Jordan out, and I could see after a full year of Wemby as the number one pick, if he does what I think he's going to do, if the Spurs don't tank him into being overdrafted this season, then people are going to be like, yeah, it'd be more fair if Wemby was not part of this.
And it was probably pre-stat tracker, but having Michael Jordan sitting on your waiver wire must have been either annoying or exhilarating or both. I think we got the same number five. I'll let you say the name.
Well, we didn't even talk about Luka.
Oh, well, we love him. He's great.
Yeah, okay, we talk about Luka enough. I talk about Luka enough. I'm good. I don't know how I feel about my number five player, honestly. I think I might be crazy, but I've got Anthony Edwards.
Wow. Okay. We're way different. And I don't have Anthony Edwards high enough. I should have Anthony Edwards a lot higher.
I should have him lower.
This list of mine is crap, folks. No. It's a sham and a fraud.
No, I feel that way about mine. So
it's
and also let's keep in mind it's July 1st.
But it's dynasty, man. It doesn't. Anthony Edwards is the next Michael Jordan. He is Michael Jordan incarnate. He's already proven it. He's there, man. I don't have any problem with this. No, he's not there. But he did shrug at the cameras, and I appreciate the gesture. Like, I appreciate that, and we talked about Anthony Edwards a ton. Like, I mean, if you guys don't know, we love Anthony Edwards. We think he's a dog. He's got that dog in him, and he's really just a breath of fresh air, you know, in a league that, you know, there's a lot of competitors that aren't that competitive. He's that guy. We saw him fail. So we'll see how he gets up off the ground and improves his game. I want to see him get those little moves that, you know, the you learn in year 3, 4, and 5 that really unlock everything. But the key thing from a fantasy perspective here is, can he make the leap into elite statistical territory? You know, some of these other guys are just doing it through some masterful swoop of the stat. Like Wembanyama obviously produces everywhere in a crazy way. Jokic, 58% field goal shooting on a good amount of attempts. Like, that's stupid good. You know, Luka, constant triple double barrage, you know, and finally got the foul shooting figured out. Shea shooting foul shots like they're drinking water and, you know, hitting them at 88% or something. You know, this is statistical kind of anomaly territory. Anthony Edwards has been great, you know, with all of what he does, but on a per game value last season, he was just outside of the third round. And playing with, you know, Cat, not helpful. But after that, you know, not a lot of guys taking shots from him. Rudy Gobert's not taking a lot of shots from him. Jaden McDaniels isn't, you know, Mike Conley isn't taking a lot of shots from him. This is a vote on just him being Michael Jordan reincarnate, yeah?
Well, my thought is, I mean, he really came into his own starting with that Phoenix series against Kevin Durant when they swept him. He was talking trash to Durant. He literally looked like the best player in the league for like that week. Now it kind of faded, but they won another series, and what, they took out Denver, right?
Yeah.
No, Oklahoma City took out. No.
No.
No, Minnesota took out Denver. Yeah. So they took out Denver and Phoenix, and Ant in that Phoenix series, just, I mean, he just went into another galaxy. And I think he's going to build on that. Like 2 years from now, who knows how good that kid's going to be. So this is a dynasty draft. I'm not sure anyone has as much upside as that kid does. But that's why I got him a little high. I'm reaching for my guys, Brew. You know how it works.
You know, and I'm glad you did, because like my list would have been a total joke without him super high. I, in a re-rank, would put him as high as where you have him. Like, I've had Chet.
You got Chet at 5?
I do. It's uncomfortable, but the names beneath him weren't compelling me to not do it. Now, Anthony Edwards, I think what...
Okay. I have Chet at 6.
Okay, yeah. I mean, real quick on Anthony Edwards, so right. Why I would have him probably ahead of Chet is, like, okay, the reason why Anthony Edwards is on my list is I made this list very piecemeal, looking at just like, okay, I can make this list with my eyes closed. Hey, of course I can. Yeah, and Anthony Edwards was outside of the top three rounds, and I kind of just missed his name. Like, no joke. It's sitting there, you know, it's lower than it should, and pure value-wise, you worry about that. Like, okay, maybe it's the turnovers at 3.1 per game, but that's not changing anytime soon. What he needs to do in order to get his rank up is he needs to get probably the field goal percentage in a better place, but 46% on his volume is actually quite good. But he needs to have overall improved numbers across the board. He needs more points. He needs more boards. He needs more assists. And he needs more threes, and he probably needs more steals. Like 1.3 for a player of his talent probably needs to go up to like 1.7, 1.8. But I really do think that, like, you get rid of Rudy Gobert somehow, you get rid of Karl Anthony Towns, we're talking like 2 or 3 years down the road, and Anthony Edwards might just become a designated rebounder, you know, at some point. He can jump higher than anybody on the planet, it feels like. He's got strength, you know, the grab-and-go stuff. He'll get a bigger green light. He'll have less competition for shots without the kind of cat try it. The cat issue is one thing. The Rudy Gobert thing is also going to hold him back offensively. So when they really build that team around him, I think the current stats of like 26, 5, and 5 go to like 37, you know, 7 boards, something like that. 7 assists, 8 assists, and he starts flirting with triple doubles every night, you know, knocking in closer to 3 triples a game. And the key will be, can he get the steals up, and can he become unstoppable and get that 46% up to like 48 or even 49? I think he's capable of making that many shots, getting to the foul line more than 6.4 times per game as he did this last season, get that number up to 8 or 9. And I think Anthony Edwards starts playing with some top 5 numbers. And by the way, he's just not even 23 years old. So you're going to have this guy on your team for like 15 seasons. You know, that's outstanding. So I'll re-rank him above Chet. I'll share the rank with you. And
wow, I really was nervous about throwing that one out there. You seemed to love it.
I did. And Chet, what can you say? I mean, the dude had 2.3 blocks a game. He knocked in a triple and a half. I think his shot has got a lot of improvement that he's going to really, like, 2-3 seasons from now, you know, he kind of doesn't have good balance when he shoots. The release is a little bit awkward at times. I think that he'll get rid of those hitches. I think he'll get some high release point, you know, some of those kind of Nick Batum-like catch and flip kind of shot. You know, I think he'll learn those skills so he can get more of these shots off. Maybe some more steals, especially if he's playing a little bit more around the perimeter. I mean, what do you think about the Isaiah Hartenstein addition? Is that going to hurt him in fantasy leagues, you know, with the blocks?
I mean, it could, but I hope it wouldn't. I guess the thing we have to be careful about with OKC is those guys don't give a rat's, you know what, about fantasy or fantasy numbers. And if it's better for the team, for Hartenstein to play inside and Chet to play outside, that's what they'll do. But I find it hard to believe that the former number one pick and would have been rookie of the year had it not been for the freak is going to take a hit because a guy named Hartenstein is coming in. I just think Hartenstein is going to, you know, solidify the front court of Oklahoma City without really overshadowing what Chet does. So I mean, I'm not really worried about it. And this is Dynasty, and Hartenstein's not going to be there forever. Yeah, Chet's only going to get better. I'm locked in on Hartenstein too.
Yeah,
I mean, locked in on.
You got Hartenstein as your fifth overall Dynasty pick. Got it. Everybody pick based on that, and then send Doc hate later.
No, it's six. No,
six,
Chet.
That's right.
Six. I'm locked in on Chet.
Okay.
As Woj would say when somebody's looking to draft somebody, Dr. A is locked on to Chet Holmgren.
Fawning over Chet Holmgren and singing Christina Aguilera songs in his sleep every night.
Right.
Okay, it gets interesting after that, though, because, like, Chet, to me, I mean, he kind of checks all the boxes for a sexy fantasy player, right? It's like, you know, blocks, threes. Yeah, check. 8 boards last year per game, 16.5 points. And like for a guy that was like the fourth option, fifth option, you know, check, all this good stuff.
I think we're going to have the same player at 7.
I don't know. Well, why don't you say the name and I'll follow up.
I have Tyrese Haliburton.
Yeah. No, that's who I have. It was an uncomfortable pick. I mean, like Joel Embiid is just sitting there.
Yeah,
right?
I didn't love doing it.
I mean, Joel Embiid was the number one ranked
per
game 9 cat guy last year. That's not nothing. And I guess this is just the great dynasty divide. Like, if you, and of course you're not drafting these players right now, like, or maybe you are, but if your team is a win now team, Joel Embiid is a win now player, you know? So if you need to go out and get Joel Embiid to try to win now, go do it. He might be more valuable than Chet if you're winning now. You know, the 4 guys at the top of the list, we can argue about that all day long, and maybe we should, but having Tyrese ahead, you know, of Joel Embiid is pretty significant. I mean, Joel Embiid had twice the fantasy value of Tyrese Haliburton in a 9-cat league last season. But let's talk about Haliburton. Where, as I do the famous talk about questions, talk about this. Haliburton.
I think when we're doing these, I mean, I'm doing it with the mindset. I'm starting from scratch. This is a brand new league with a brand new draft, and I'm planning for my next 10 years. And that's how I'm ranking these players.
Agreed, which is why Embiid is not higher than Tyrese Haliburton on my list and yours. And Haliburton, you know, I have one concern with him is that, like, maybe these are the best statistical days. Like, maybe he won't have this kind of freedom, you know, in a team that, okay, they go, the league says the Pacers are good now. And guys are like, oh, I want to play with Tyrese Haliburton. He passes the ball, yada, yada, yada. You know, this is a team that's got a chance to win. And then Halliburton's not so free to go 20-11 and change most nights. But, like, that sounds like it's not even crossing your mind with this ranking. And it probably isn't with mine. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was hurt for the second half of last year. And, you know, he didn't look right to me after the All-Star break. And I'm not going to hold that against him. I really think he was hurt. And I know he was hurt in the playoffs. And he was overhyped, I think, for the last couple of years. But I don't believe that he will always be overhyped. He's going to be really, really, really good. And I think it's going to happen sooner than later. And he's 24 years old. It seems kind of no-brainer to me that Halliburton, even if the Pacers picked up a bunch of superstars, Halliburton's still going to be a guy. Just like nobody, I don't think anybody's going to come into New York and knock Jalen Brunson out of his role or out of his stats. Now, I don't think it's going to happen to Halliburton either.
It's a stat set to really to behold. I mean, he shoots 47.7% last year, 85.5% from the foul line. And I really think those are possibly low watermarks. Like if he finds different finishing moves, if he continues to get stronger, all the stuff he's getting right now, he's just going to get to it a lot easier. So you could see this guy shoot 48, 49%. Yeah, if he plays with other players, some of those numbers might come back, but the efficiency goes up. He gets 0.7 blocks last season. He's got this sneaky blocking ability due to his size and length. So between that and the potential for even more steals, if he gets more aggressive, stronger, more aware during games, I think he can do better in that area. So he's just got a really sweet stat set. 24 years old, just knows the game. He's going to have the cats, or he's going to have the pick of the litter with whatever he wants to do. Metaphors be damned. Yeah, I really like him at that spot in the ranks. Then we get to a point in the ranks where I think it gets really dicey. I don't even have any clue who you would have next after Halliburton. Like, I know who I have, but I don't know if you even have him in your top 20.
I've got Scotty Barnes.
Okay. We are same.
Really?
We're wearing the same thing to school today. We didn't even talk to each other.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Scotty B. I loved him last year, man. And Toronto loves him. And he does everything. He's got, he's 23.
Yeah.
That's young, man. And he's going to be so good.
I just think a guy his size that's that young getting 6 assists per game on a team with issues as well.
On the blocks were amazing.
It was crazy the year before. I mean, I kind of went in on Scotty Barnes the year before, and it felt like all the other players just didn't want him to be a thing. And he just kind of sat there in mediocrity.
Yeah, it was a bad experience. I was there too.
It was really bad. And then it was like Toronto said, yeah, no, we're going with Scotty Barnes. And boom, just like seeing those stats every night. What's that? 2.8, 4.5 cash counting, 3 steals and blocks combined. What I call them, cash counters. And 20 points, 8 boards, 6 assists. And 78.1% from the foul line. That is actually scary for opposing GMs. Like, what if he gets up to like 82 and then really like starts to develop, you know, like prime level Scotty Barnes getting to the line, say 6-8 times a game instead of just the 4, and he's up over 80%. So he gets an even a bigger boost. I would say he of this tier of players that we're discussing right now has probably the most chance of getting up into like a top 5 kind of posture with the stats he's producing. That's phenomenal. Who did you have next?
Number 9. I'm not pleased with this one at all, but your guy, world champion Jason Tatum.
That's the sound you make when you drop Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. He's what, 26? The numbers are solid. I feel like Tatum isn't gonna win you a championship, but he'll help you win a championship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I had him in my top 10 until Anthony Edwards kicked him out. So I was right there with you.
I didn't want to put him in my top 10. He just sort of ended up there.
I put it to you this way, folks. I didn't do the 400 hours of research I do on the B150. My top 10 dynasty ranks list, I mailed this one in. It's Yeah, it's everything you said. And then I don't want to say I don't like Jason Tatum. I just think he's like, I don't know. Fake is too strong of a word.
Yeah, I really didn't like his post-championship behavior.
I got, you know, I had like five people, basically friends of mine, you know, that don't watch the NBA very much. I had like five of them like complained to me about that. And I didn't really hear it. And I was like, how bad was this thing? Like, it was a montage of like prior championship expressions. I don't know.
Well, there's lots of stuff out there on Twitter and social media, like mocking, like drawing up, comparing what he said to the original that said it. And it's just like, I see what you're doing there, but I don't like it.
Please stop doing that.
Can you please Jason Tatum? Stop doing that?
I had Tyrese Maxey at that spot, and yeah, I didn't feel good about it, but I mean, I think we're talking about a guy who can just shoot the crap out of the ball, and he's got that elite level quickness, good strength for like a, you know, smaller, quicker dude. I think some of his stuff is like kind of borderline unstoppable, where he can scoot by people and really extend with that scoop and that fast finishing layup. But the sidestep threes and just having that top end shooting at 24 years old, just under 24 years old. I just think it's solid. It's crazy to say, like, I mean, Maxey a couple seasons ago, people were like trying to figure out if he was as good as, what's his name? Who's the other guard that's almost out of the league right now? I can't remember. I blame that on California Adventure Disneyland, by the way, folks. That's a test of physical skill, that California Adventure. I don't know how I survived it, but great job. Disney was a great job.
You know, I took my family bowling yesterday, and I have not thrown a bowling ball in like 10 years. I'm not really getting down the stairs very well today. I'm walking. I mean, I'm an old man already, but now I'm walking like I'm 102 years old.
What was the score, sir? Did you crack 100?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm not going to reveal the score. I did crack 100. I will say that one member of our bowling party rolled a 54. And I did not know that it was possible to.
You have to actively try to miss the pins,
right? Yeah, I mean, it was gutter ball three pins, gutter ball four pins, gutter ball six pins. It is incredible. And I'm not gonna state which member of my family that was, but it was someone almost as old as I am. I'll just leave it at that.
One of my greatest sporting moments in brew history was I went berserk one day. I'm not a bowler. I mean, I was in a bowling league at one point in time, so I do the little foot scoot thing. Like, I got that figured out. And I couldn't miss one day. I know this is really important for listeners, but it was like the greatest moment of my life. You know, throw the ball, turn. It's a strike. You knew it was a strike. It was great. My last pick, because I know people want to hear my bowling stories, like they want a hole in the head. I had Joel
Embiid. When you bowled that day? I thought you were going to tell us.
227.
Holy
dude, it was and it was I don't even spin the ball, dude. Like, I don't even do the little hook thing. I can't figure that out.
Yeah, right.
I just was throwing it down the middle.
You were on fire. You were on fire.
It was unstoppable. Might have been the beer.
I'm gonna tell a bowling story when we're done with this dynasty list. And it's gonna be short and sweet, but it's very similar to yours, except it's got a twist to it.
Ooh, a twist yeah. Like, okay, Joel Embiid at 9 in a dynasty list, or 10? I don't know.
So I got Tatum at 9. Who do you have at 9?
I got, I got Maxey at 9 in my reordered list, yeah. And I got Embiid at 10.
Embiid at 10, yes.
And then I'll even float some names that almost made the cut. I had Fox pretty high. I had Jalen Williams pretty high. I put Jalen Johnson pretty high. I mean, he's 22 and a half years old. Mm-hmm. I have some serious concerns about Jalen Johnson's stat set that, you know, over the years might not work out in his favor, but he was pretty high. That's pretty much it.
Well, here's my list of almost made it. I looked at Joel Embiid, 30-year-old Joel Embiid.
That's crazy.
I looked at Alpi Şengün. I really want to put Jalen Williams at 10. I think if I was drafting and not advising people what to do, I would take Jalen Williams at 10. But that is not.
But we've established you have issues.
I can't tell the people to do that. And I also like Jalen Johnson. And both Jalen's I was thinking about there. I think ultimately I'm going with Trae Young. Now that DeJounte Murray's out of the way, and Trey should become a fantasy darling again.
I don't know how the foul thing is going to work out for him, but he's also one of those players that it's not like he's going to get slow anytime soon. Like, he's just going to get better and better and better and better for at least 5-6 seasons, you know? So, yeah, I mean, especially if they can pair him up with the right player. I know that Jalen Johnson is that guy. So that's a good start. Like, you know, good lob threat. That's good screens. You know, a threat to both pick and pop. You know, that's great. Feels like if he could get one more player that just, you know, really brings gravity to the areas of the floor that he does not, you know, provide gravity towards, that would maybe even put him in the potential for like kind of a top five, you know, per game finish, either format, and that's really hard to come by. But he actually does have that stat set to make that happen. All right, let's hear the bowling thing.
My wife and I joined a bowling league. This is probably 1995. I bought my own bowling ball, had my nickname put on it, which was not Dr. A at that time. And it's stupid. I'm not saying. I bowled with that same ball yesterday. Well, I'll just say, everybody in college called me Cat for some reason, and my wife still calls me Cat. And so my bowling ball says Cat. And so we're on our way to the opening night of our bowling league. We're in the car approaching Woodland Bowl in Carmel, Indiana. And my wife looks at me and she goes, "Hey, dumbass. They're setting our handicaps tonight, so please don't go and roll some really good game." I mean, do I need to finish the story, dude?
No. What'd you bowl?
I get up there. I throw a strike with my first ball, strike with my second, and like turkey with the third. And I'm like, oh my God. And she's like, stop.
What's the fourth one in a row? I forget.
You're doing exactly what I told you not to do. And I'm like, oh God. So then I take it easy, and I have no control over this. Like, I'm not a good bowler, right? And so, long story short, I roll a 210 on opening night that sets my handicap. Never probably cracked 160 again the entire year. And we got trounced every single week, but I had a personal best 210, and I was very excited about it.
That is what's the fourth in a row after a turkey? I remember a turkey. What's the fourth? Like a
quad?
Quad. Yeah.
I don't know what it's called. I have a phone and a computer in front of me. I mean, I could probably figure this out.
I'm sure producer Andre Lemos has gotten it into the chat as we speak. All right, guys. You know, this one we wanted to have some fun with. We don't really get to weigh in on dynasty stuff too often around here. And free agency, I mean, there's a lot going on.
I got breaking news. 4 consecutive strikes. Oh, this is awesome, dude. I'm so glad you did this. 4 strikes in a row is called a ham bone.
Ham bone. Is that right? I don't remember that.
Fantastic.
I don't remember it that way, but you got it on the internet. It must be true.
It's a ham bone.
Just ham boning it up. I'm going on the wrong day.
I have a friend in Delano. His name's Austin, but we call him Hambone. Now I've got to be talked to him about.
Yeah. Talk to him about that. There's a story for behind that, I'm sure.
Okay. Sorry I interrupted you. Carry
no,
on.
It's all good. I'm just going to pay some bills by mentioning that if you follow at Ethos Fantasy NFL or at Ethos Fantasy NBA right now, you'll be watching out for some major promo stuff in celebration of the 2024 transaction season, ham bones, dynasty rank lists, and everything else going on at Sports Ethos. They're the 24% off for 4 months promo, any membership, I believe. My goodness. So you can get in at a crazy low rate, not just at a regular without the promo code, but for the All Sport, it's $8 a month. You get in a discount on top of that. I can't believe that's right. I don't know who calls the shots around here, but definitely somebody ought to look into that guy. Follow us as well. Follow Doc at Dr. A, D-O-C-K-T-O-R-A, at Aaron Brewski. We want to hear your feedback. Let us know how things are going. Follow the show, like it, subscribe, do all that stuff for us if you don't mind. It helps us out greatly. Our goal here is to provide the best fantasy content known to man and really make this ecosystem all it can be here in the fantasy sports space. All of your help is appreciated. In fact, thank you guys for that. Thank you guys for making the show what it is. Thank you, Steve, for being on the show. Thank you, Andre, for your production. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, a Bet Online presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, be well.